Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It is customary with Paul to lay the doctrinal foundation first, and then to build on it the gold, silver, and gems of good deeds. Now there is no other foundation than Jesus Christ. Upon this foundation the apostle erects the structure of good works, which he defines in this one sentence, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In adding such precepts of love, the apostle embarrasses the false apostles very much, as if he were saying to the Galatians, I have described to you what spiritual life is. Now I will also teach you what truly good works are. I am doing this in order that you may understand that the silly ceremonies of which the false apostles make so much are far inferior to the works of Christian love. This is the hallmark of all false teachers, that they not only pervert the pure doctrine, but also fail in doing good. Their foundation vitiated, they can only build wood, hay, and stubble. Oddly enough, the false apostles, who were such earnest champions of good works, never required the work of charity, such as Christian love, and the practical charity of a helpful tongue, hand, and heart. Their only requirement was that circumcision, days, months, years, and times, should be observed. They could not think of any other good works. The apostle exhorts all Christians to practice good works after they have embraced the pure doctrine of faith, because even though they have been justified, they still have the old flesh to refrain them from doing good. Therefore, it becomes necessary that sincere preachers cultivate the doctrine of good works as diligently as the doctrine of faith, for Satan is a deadly enemy of both. Nevertheless, faith must come first, because without faith, it is impossible to know what a God-pleasing deed is. Let nobody think that he knows all about this commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It sounds short and easy, but show me the man who can teach, learn, and do this commandment perfectly. None of us heed or urge or practice this commandment properly. Though the conscience hurts when we fail to fulfill this commandment in every respect, we are not overwhelmed by our failure to bear our neighbor sincere and brotherly love. The words, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, entail a criticism of the Galatians. You are so taken up by your superstitions and ceremonies that serve no purpose, that you neglect the most important thing, love. Saint Jerome says, we wear our bodies out with watching, fasting, and labor, and neglect charity, the queen of all good works. Look at the monks who meticulously fast, watch, etc. To skip the least requirement of their order would be a crime of the first magnitude. At the same time, they blithely ignored the duties of charity and hated each other to death. That is no sin, they think. The Old Testament is replete with examples that indicate how much God prizes charity. When David and his companions had no food with which to still their hunger, they ate the showbread, which lay people were forbidden to eat. Christ's disciples broke the Sabbath law when they plucked the ears of corn. Christ himself broke the Sabbath, as the Jews claimed, by healing the sick on the Sabbath. These incidents indicate that love ought to be given consideration above all laws and ceremonies. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. We can imagine the apostle saying to the Galatians, why do you get so worked up over ceremonies, meats, days, places, and such things? Leave off this foolishness and listen to me. The whole law is comprehended in this one sentence, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. God is not particularly interested in ceremonies, nor has he any use for them. The one thing he requires of you is that you believe in Christ whom he hath sent. If in addition to faith, which comes first as the most acceptable service unto God, you want to add laws, then you want to know that all laws are comprehended in this short commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Paul knows how to explain the law of God. He condenses all the laws of Moses into one brief sentence. Reason takes offense at the brevity with which Paul treats the law. Therefore, reason looks down upon the doctrine of faith and its truly good works. To serve one another in love, i.e., to instruct the erring, to comfort the afflicted, to raise the fallen, to help one's neighbor in every possible way, to bear with his infirmities, to endure hardships, toil, ingratitude in the church and in the world, And on the other hand, to obey government, to honor one's parents, to be patient at home with a nagging wife and an unruly family, these things are not at all regarded as good works. The fact is, they are such excellent works that the world cannot possibly estimate them at their true value. It is tersely spoken, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." But what more needs to be said? You cannot find a better or nearer example than your own. If you want to know how you ought to love your neighbor, ask yourself how much you love yourself. If you were to get into trouble or danger, you would be glad to have the love and help of all men. You do not need any book of instructions to teach you how to love your neighbor. All you have to do is to look into your own heart, and it will tell you how you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. My neighbor is every person, especially those who need my help, as Christ explained in the 10th chapter of Luke. Even if a person has done me some wrong or has hurt me in any way, he is still a human being with flesh and blood. As long as a person remains a human being, so long is he to be an object of our love. Paul therefore urges his Galatians and, incidentally, all believers to serve each other in love. You Galatians do not have to accept circumcision. If you are so anxious to do good works, I will tell you in one word how you can fulfill all laws. By love, serve one another. You will never lack people to whom you may do good. The world is full of people who need your help. Verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. When faith in Christ is overthrown, peace and unity come to an end in the church. Diverse opinions and dissensions about doctrine and life spring up, and one member bites and devours the other, i.e., they condemn each other until they are consumed. To this the scriptures and the experience of all times bear witness. The many sects at present have come into being because one sect condemns the other. When the unity of the Spirit has been lost, there can be no agreement in doctrine or life. New errors must appear without measure and without end. For the avoidance of discord, Paul lays down the principle, "Let every person do his duty in the station of life into which God has called him. No person is to vault himself above others or find fault with the efforts of others while lauding his own. Let everybody serve in love." It is not an easy matter to teach faith without works, and still to require works. Unless the ministers of Christ are wise in handling the mysteries of God and rightly divide the word, faith and good works may easily be confused. Both the doctrine of faith and the doctrine of good works must be diligently taught, and yet in such a way that both the doctrines stay within their God-given sphere. If we only teach works, as our opponents do, we shall lose the faith. If we only teach faith, people will come to think that good works are superfluous.